You can see by the title, Out with the Old, In with the New. The idea here could have referenced Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, where it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." However, I didn't choose that passage today. I rather chose Mark chapter 2. Consequently, have any of you ever made a New Year's resolution and didn't keep it? Yeah. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by, and maybe you're doing sort of okay and expecting to get better. 38.5% of all Americans make New Year's resolutions. You know how many keep them by the end of January? A whopping zero. Now, I don't know. I mean, it's a poll. I suppose you could find a poll that says it's more, or so on and so forth. But sometimes we tend to make these resolutions, which is a signal, an internal signal, that we sense the need to change something in our lives. But so often, we don't have a roadmap to guide us. Or we don't have the foundational reasons to change. So much so, in other words, say it like this, you're not miserable enough with who you are. Now, the other side of that coin is, perhaps, because that's internal, is the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit inside you that you hear that small voice saying, you need to work on this. You need to change that. It's never a voice of condemnation. That's you or the devil. That voice of God is tender. But if you listen carefully, it's blaring like sirens. But it's gentle, and it's still, and it's compassionate. We remember that because a verse like Romans 2 and 4, it says God's kindness leads us to repentance. Repentance is just the word for change. Literally, in the Greek, it means to turn around. So if you're walking in this direction, repentance doesn't mean take a left. It doesn't mean take a right. It means to turn around, to do a 180, and walk in the opposite direction. And so the scripture in other places like Proverbs, it says, change your behavior and replace the behavior with something that's godly. Paul said it also in Corinthians, that if you steal, give. If you take, give. If you speak down to, speak up to. So rather than tearing people down, we build them up and encourage them to put courage into. It was what encouragement means. And so this renewing our minds and the idea of wineskins comes to mind better. Now, the imagery that Jesus is using in Mark 2, which is what I read to us before, was regarding fasting. Because there's a time of preparation for the wedding. This was the Eastern tradition. And the groom, when you're in the presence of the groom, you don't fast. That's disrespectful. You're supposed to have joy and festivities and eat and be full and merry. So when the groom is present, you don't fast. But then Jesus turns the metaphor on its head and gives us a parable and says something about these wineskins. And as I'm thinking of 24, I'm thinking of these new wineskins. And he says in verse 21, "Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before." And though that's the imagery now, the patch. And now he says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." Now, obviously, there's some imagery here that's going on that is regarding to the Old Testament. The Old Testament was a matter of ritual and doing things by hand, if you will. It was all about ceremony and all about human effort to please God. And Paul went on in Romans and said that we can't please God through human effort. We are utterly going to fail at that. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can please God and live up to the mandates of Scripture is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the West, we don't like that. Because in the West, it's all about philosophy. It's all about logic. It's all about the Enlightenment. And we have to have higher minds and this sort of thing. But it's not the tradition that Jesus was mentioning. As a matter of fact, the Eastern tradition, it's easier for people to focus on, well, for the Eastern traditions, it would be transcendental meditation. It still reverts back to inward. Karma, which is doing more good than bad, which is also works. Or it's about changing from within and being satisfied with nothing. Meaning, can you be content as a temple Buddhist, as a Buddhist in a temple somewhere in Siberia or somewhere in Tibet or wherever? Would you be satisfied living a lowly life? That's kind of the Eastern tradition. But here we find in Scripture that Jesus is talking about these new wineskins with new wine. New wine is the new covenant. That we find salvation and we find peace and joy in knowing Christ. And the new wine skin is the new way, which is by faith, not by works that any man can boast. So the switch from Old Testament to New Testament was, we are saved no longer by works, and there's a new covenant, meaning that our sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb rather than by a dove, chicken, you know, boar, whatever they committed sacrifices to. And now we believe in Jesus and we're saved by faith in the work of Christ. And so we find there about the new wineskins, and each year brings a new opportunity or the opportunity for a fresh start, a chance to let go of the old and welcome in the new. And you know, winter and spring and summer has its own imagery, doesn't it? The winter is sort of cold and perhaps bleak. There's no leaves on the tree. It's sort of barren and dark all the time. It's cold and inhospitable. And I think the first step in change can be like that, which is why so many of us resist change. Because it is hard to change the way that we think. It is hard to change our behaviors. We are creatures of habit. We do the same thing repeatedly, 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 repeatedly. Some of you get up every day at 4:59 a.m. And sometimes you don't even need the clock to do it. Your eyes open at 4:59 and you're amazed because we're creatures of habit. I don't think I've used an alarm clock for 30 years. I just wake up when I wake up, and it's always the time that I've always woke up. And I think it's probably the same to you. But as we're considering 2024, Generations Church is going to have to do things differently. There's going to be more required of you as an individual to make this church successful in evangelizing this community. We're going to have to change. And that change begins with you and it begins with me. In a discussion regarding fasting, Jesus teaches this parable about the groom and the wineskins, and it leads us to this conviction that Judaism, they didn't really take their sins seriously because they already knew that God would forgive them. They would two pigeons and a dove, and the sins were released, and so on and so forth. God was pushing them forward to Christ. We know that looking back. And they weren't so really concerned about that. And they truly didn't believe that those sins would jeopardize their relationship with God. And surely the Pharisees had this in mind when they asked him prior to when he calls Matthew there in verse 17 and 16 of chapter 2. It says, "But when the teachers of the religious law who were Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with such scum?'" That's how they viewed people that weren't believers. You understand? That the Pharisees viewed non-believers, non-Jews, as scum. And even Jews who weren't living the life according to the Torah and the Old Testament, they were not They were considered the dregs of society. They would have nothing to do with them. They didn't want to associate with them. And one of the reasons, and primary reason, was because in their view, they were unclean. And Jesus said in verse 17, when he heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know. Notice the difference between think and know. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And as I said, this imagery of the new wineskins, this new way is this new, the wine obviously represents the blood of Christ. That's the point of the parable. And so this old way that the Pharisees were living by, which was human effort, essentially, this new way that Jesus was bringing was replaced by the Spirit residing within the believer rather than going to the temple to find God. Now, with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior who died for our sins, and at the moment that we accept him as our Lord, the Holy Spirit takes residence in us and enlightens the mind to the Word of God. It helps us to understand what the Scripture says and empowers us to live a life that is holy and good. Not any longer by human effort. Because we know we will fail. And that's why the Pharisees had the rituals and why God had animal sacrifices. He was rolling the sins of the people from the garden all the way to Christ. And we know we find that, and Paul talked about it, and it's an Old Testament theology. So it's no longer by human effort. And I believe, friends, that the reason we fail at our New Year's resolutions is because we rely strictly on human effort. Over and over, we're told to go into the closet and pray. And what God sees in secret, he will reward in secret. But we are flapping our gums, jabbering about, well, I'm in the midst of a fast. Well, you just canceled yourself out if you told everyone you're fasting. That's not the point of a fast. Maybe there's one person close to you that you would talk to about that, and clearly, you know, yes, I'll support and encourage you and so on and so forth. But you don't blab to the nations that you're fasting. That's the point. The point is to not tell everyone. The point is to go in the closet and pray. It's between you and God. And are you willing in 2024 to go into the closet and sweat it out and pray? And pray and pray, because praying is hard. Fasting is harder. And for those of you who've done it in the past, you know what I mean. And imagine the saints of old, referencing Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, and the magnificence that the writer talks about, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, all these people did all these things. Matter of fact, you go there, faith shows the reality, verse 1 of 11, of what we hope for is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up without dying. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God and called him to leave his home and go to another place. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, even though she was barren and too old, and on and on and on. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, not works. And so, if we truly believe that God is telling us to change something, why would he expect us then to change it under our own human effort? The fact is, he doesn't. And he knows we'll fail. What he expects is reliance and obedience. And the obedience comes as we rely upon him, not our own human effort. It is still based in faith. And so in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, I've preached a lot about this and did a funeral, two funerals referencing this passage. And this means 5:17, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life is begun. How does this happen? Well, it happens by confessing our sins. Lord God, I know I'm wrong. I've sinned against you. I've earned Adam's condition of being fallen. I confess that as sin to you, and I ask you to help me change. By your power, I ask that you would save me from my sins and not send me to hell. I ask that you come into my life, make me a new person. Be my Lord, meaning the reason why I do everything, and my Savior, saving me from hell, that I might one day be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you are saved if you said that prayer. You're saved. And if you've never said that before and you've said it just now, you are saved. And the Holy Spirit, at the moment of your speaking, that came into you and took residence up in you. It's supernatural, called regeneration. And now you are this new person that Paul is talking about in Corinthians. Now you have this new power. You have this new reason. You have these new motivations, a new way to live. Which is exactly why we make New Year's resolutions, because we're tired of the way we're living. That's why there's all these resolutions. I need to lose weight. I need to get more pay. I need to get better with my family. I need to become more mindful. Whatever it is for you. And then we go back to the old way of doing things and create our rituals, form new habits, and ultimately fail. Because we're not grounded in the reasons that we're having change. And so I believe and I submit to you today that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and you feel this need to change something, my encouragement to you is to listen to that voice and do what God says. Say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. You know that. I don't have the power. I will fail. I'm carnal. I have base desires that will not go away. They crave and crave to do evil things inside. But I know I'm supposed to put off the old self. In Galatians chapter 5, it says to put off the old self and walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we have the victory. When we put off the old self, that means that we grab that thought and we submit it to the knowledge of God. What is Paul saying when he says that? He's saying, whatever thought comes in, we grab that thought and we say, hold on, is this what you want, Lord? And you submit it to what God says. You submit it to what you know about the Lord. You submit it to the knowledge of God. And once it goes through that, it's cleansed and taken away if it's bad. And you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. And every time that new thought comes, wave it off. No! And the Bible says that we have to resist the devil, and he will flee you. Resist has implications, does it not? That means that someone's going to be standing against you, that there'll be resistance against your change, even if it is yourself. And so we must resist the devil and temptation will flee. I mean, leave. So when you grab that thought that then leads to sin, you grab that thought, you say, no, I'm not going to do this. Wave it off. And what comes in its place? The Word of God. You replace it with the Word of God. When you take something away, you replace it with the Word of God. So go to your Bibles and read the scripture and fill your mind with heavenly things. And having a faith based only in head knowledge of God and outward religious practice is essentially the same as that of the Pharisees, is it not? When it's based on only head knowledge and outward religious practice, that is essentially the faith of the Pharisees, which is no faith at all. In Mark 2 and 17, Jesus said, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to call those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Totally different. And we walk around in our arrogance, and I am so holy, and I would never be caught in such a place, or doing such a thing, or I would not have such thoughts. Fine. Wonderful. Keep it to yourself. Only say those things that encourage and build another person up, is what the scripture says. That our words should be words of life. That our words should be words of encouragement and empowering others to live godly. Sing praises is what Paul said. Sing praises and hymns to one another, encouraging one another, building each other up, knowing as we know the truth. And since we know the truth, then let us do that which is good. It can be frightening to let go of things that we have, that God asks us to. Some of those things that we hold tightly to, even if we know it's not the best for us in the long run. And that's because of our fallen nature that we're still having to struggle with. There's two things going on inside. Galatians spells this out really well, actually. So I keep referencing it. Romans 6 and 7, the same thing. Particularly mid-chapter of 7 in Romans. And there's these two forces that are going on. It's the old nature, the old sinful self, who won't be fully canceled out till we get to glory. But God has reborn us. That's what it means to be born again. We're new creatures in Christ. And so God sees us as his redeemed children. We have the Holy Spirit who makes us holy. We're set apart. That's what sanctification is. But there's still that old nature that has a voice. And we're constantly at war putting that voice down. And eventually, without the Holy Spirit's help, we will lose utterly and fail miserably. Because that old nature is so powerful. And their cravings are so deep. And so, because we know this, because we know that the old man has cravings that are so deep, because we know that the old flesh has such power over us, shouldn't we, as God's people, empower one another and help one another be godly and not point out the things that we already know are wicked? You might have that voice in somebody's life, good. But for the masses, you don't. So speak life into your sons and daughters. Speak life into your spouses and your sisters and brothers. Speak life into people that you see at church. Empower them to live in a way that is godly and good and right. We need each other in this battle against our souls every week, and we come to worship God on Sunday morning to worship him, to get power and encouragement to go out in this world and be his witness. And perhaps we should start the new year with a strategic plan to begin removing old destructive habits and mindsets that are preventing us from stepping into all that God has in store for the upcoming year. Well, that's a good thought at the end there. Yes, God's going to get us there. The point I'm making is, are you doing something that's holding you back from stepping in faith? Because when we get led by the old flesh, when we get led by the old nature, that mind is not in equal mind with the Lord. We get rebellious and we get angry and we get callous and we get cold toward other people. And then we stop hearing from the Holy Spirit, and that's when we miss out on God's best. Because we're not listening. We're not doing what he wants. So, you know the great Jimmy Johnson, don't you? Dallas Cowboys coach in the 90s, two Super Bowls, they won a third Super Bowl. He had this formula, and I'm going to give him credit. Positive attitude plus effort equals your performance. And I don't mean performance like you're putting on a show. He was using it regarding football, okay? So it's a great metaphor for us, though. But I add something to it. So he was saying that people have a limited set of skills and natural abilities. You can't change that. You're only so fast. And you can train and train and train and train and train and train and do all the right things, and you're never going to be able to run faster than 4.2 because that is the limitation of your body at its maximum performance. So what Jimmy was saying was, if everyone's equal in that sense, that everyone's training to get their bodies to do the very most they could get out of it as athletes, then what are the factors that limit or enhance our performance on the football field? And that was his mind. And, you know, you got to take him as an authority. This guy was a national champion in college football, 2 Super Bowl rings. He knows what he's talking about. He's a winning coach. He's worked with teams his entire career. He knows how to motivate people. Positive attitude and effort. John Maxwell said that people don't know how much you care until they know how much you care. He also had another phrase, sort of a platitude, and it says that your attitude will determine your altitude. In other words, how high you go, how much you perform, how better you get, how good of a Christian can you be with God's help, meaning, which really means obedience, is based on what? Well, for Christians, it's faith, it's dependence and reliance on the Holy Spirit, it's doing the things right, reading God's word and prayer, meeting with other Christians for support and fellowship and encouragement and building them up. And as a result of all those things, it will become, instead of performance, why don't we put righteousness? But see, I think that there's something that goes along underneath this as a believer. And that is that bottom one. If you're not willing to change, you can make all the resolutions you want. If you're not willing to change, you can read the Bible as much as you want. If you're not willing to get better, you can perform until your teeth fall out, and it's not going to enhance a thing. And so for God's people, this idea of positive attitude and effort is critical. We don't get into groups of people and start talking like Eeyore and how the world's a disaster, I'm tired of this cold, and I got a corn on my toe and my back hurts, and what a miserable life. Who of you like hanging around people like that? Not one. This whole thing of positive attitude matters. It matters a lot. And your effort. You have to put in effort. You can't just sit by idly. Oh, okay, Lord, we pray that God, you will help us reach 100 people for Jesus in 2024. In Jesus' name, amen. And sit on the chair and wait for it to happen. It's not going to happen. We were informed that this facility will not be available after September. And it won't be available again until December. And probably not until January 1st. We have some work to do. It's going to take collective effort. It's going to take your praying. Now, some of you are probably thinking, why did he drop that bombshell? It's not a bombshell. I'm not being flippant about it, but don't you think God's got this? Of course he does. And I know that he'll work it out, and it'll be a blessing to this area. It'll be a blessing to us. It'll be glorious to the kingdom. We just sang the song, We Believe. Do we? Do we really believe? And are we willing to change to make it happen? Because as I said, in 2024, there's going to be some changes. Individually, we have to change. We have to be willing to change. Because change is what's going to bring us to the place that we need to go. And the hardship of grinding that out and the difficulty of persistence and perseverance, that's what's going to get us there. And of course, God's help. Naturally. Are you willing to change? Well, Here's the old wineskin, the old way. I'm not talented enough. Maybe you could come up with these excuses in 2024 why you won't want to change. I'm not talented enough. We don't have a building. We don't have the budget. I don't have time. It will fail. I will start tomorrow. I don't believe I can. Is those all the positive attitudes that we need? Isn't that, that's not hopeful, is it? Is that hopeful? Is that believing in faith that we're going to step in faith and believe that God's going to act on our behalf because he loves us and he loves what we're doing and we're ministering to his people in a community? Is that what the old man says? Well, what are some attitudes of the new wineskin? Congratulate others' positive attitudes. Caring for others, truly caring. Guarding your tongue. Practicing gratefulness. Being determined. No matter how hard it gets, you're determined to keep going in the course that God has put before us. Determined, persevere. Being emotionally generous. What do I mean? That we praise people. It's hard for some people to give praises to others. It is. It's not an insult. It's not a chop. It's not a point the finger at. But some people have a hard time encouraging others. It's just not their nature. It doesn't mean that they don't want to. It doesn't mean that they don't like to. They just don't, because it's not in their nature. So being forgiving is part of that emotional generosity. Building up others and thinking the best of individuals, that's emotional generosity. Forgiving others, and of course, speaking life into others. We have a bit of a roadmap here, don't we? We have some things that we can work on, don't we? We have some tools, don't we? I don't want to just leave you with this thought. Next week, we're going to talk about a few more things as it relates to this. And then I'm going to do an entire series on forgiveness. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. New wine calls for new wineskins. So, in other words, Jesus tells us that if we want to live in a way that's pleasing to him, we have to do it his way. If we want to live by faith, we have to do it his way. And by the way, one last thing. He said in chapter 11 of Matthew, in verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble, gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light."